Psalms 121, verse 1, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us. Lord, as we look at the scriptures today, Lord, I pray that you'll encourage that one that maybe just needs Psalms 121 today. For many of us, maybe it's not something that's pressing, but it's something we sure need to tuck away in our heart and our mind and our memory. Because, Lord, this life is a veil of tears. And, Lord, there's people that are either coming out of maybe a tough time or they're in the middle of a tough time. And, or perhaps they're approaching. And sometimes we don't even know when it's coming. Lord, we can't predict it. We don't know it. Everything's going fairly well. And yet, Lord, one phone call, one change of circumstance, Lord, and tomorrow could be a valley. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us, Lord. I think it was out of a valley that David looked up. He looked, had to look up to see. He had to look up to find the hills. And, Lord, I believe this is one of those valley psalms. So help us, Lord, help it to be used today to bring comfort and to each that's going through a difficult time, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. The one thing I want to say before I start the message and go down through this, this is really a message designed for those of us that know Jesus Christ as our Savior, because we can truly pray this prayer. We can pray to God. When we pray to God, we can call Him our Father. We can pray to our Father. Folks, listen, God's in the adoption business. Aren't you glad about that? God's in the adoption business. And you know what? Jesus was Christ's only begotten Son. The rest of us, if we're going to be sons, we got to go through an adoption process. It's called salvation. Jesus put it this way, you must be born again. You must be born again. You know, one of the great advantages to our Christian life, the advantages of being saved, we get saved because we're under conviction of sin. We get saved because we come to the point where we understand that if we don't, judgment waits, eternal judgment. We get saved because we're overwhelmed by the love of God and the gift that He gave when He sent His Son. We get saved because we understood at some point He did that for me, for my sins. All those things come into play when we get saved. So we get saved mostly because of those reasons, and I think mainly because of those reasons. But then once we get saved, we find out there's a lot that comes with salvation. And you know what? Here's the great thing. I say this at people's doors who are not saved. I'll say to them, you know what? You're trying to do what God never intended you to do. And that's to live your life without Him. To live your life without God as your Father, without Christ as your brother, without your sins forgiven, without your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're trying to live this life without having access to God. You know what? How's it going? How's it going? I said this at a door the other day. I said to somebody that acted as if they didn't have time for God in church and kind of scoffed at the idea of it. And I said, let me just ask you a question, ponder, and then I'll head on down the road. I said, you know what? If you put God in the middle of something, is it going to get better or worse? And by the way, if you take God out of the middle of something, is it going to get better or worse? Folks, listen to me. The testimony of millions of Christians across the United States of America is this. Getting saved did not eliminate all of the problems I have to face in life. But getting saved made it so that I never had to face a problem alone ever again. Brother, that's worth something right there. I didn't have to wake up today and have to face this day just Jerry Ross and my fingers crossed. To be able to start every day, to be able to say, our Father which art in heaven, to pray to my Heavenly Father, to be able to ask Him for guidance and help. And when I face the trials of life, here it is, to be able to lift up mine eyes into the hills and know where my strength's going to come from. I want to preach a message entitled this, You Can Make It. You Can Make It. This is a sermon to Christians. You Can Make It. By the way, you can be saved today and you can be a Christian. You know what? I remember walking into a Baptist church not saved, not knowing for sure what would happen if I was to die and go to die that day. I worried about where I would spend eternity, not for sure I'd go to heaven. But you know what? There was one day I walked into church not knowing I was saved, and I walked out 100% sure I was saved. And I hope that if you're not saved, that would be your testimony today. Let me just encourage people at Blessed Hope Baptist Church this morning. Let me just say several things. You can make it. You can make it. Number one, you can make it because God is your helper. God is your helper. I will lift up mine eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help. Notice this, my help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. Man once asked me, preacher, what do you pray more than any other prayer? And that's easy. I said, I prayed this two-word prayer, help me. I do. I pray that thing. I couldn't even count the number of times a day. I'm facing something. I'm pondering something. I'm trying to make a decision on something. I'm not understanding something. And I've just learned the benefit of stopping. Listen, watch this. Stopping and taking a moment and getting help, getting the help I need. It's amazing when Jerry Ross is trying to think through something, how muddled my thinking can become and how I can simply bow my head and say, help me, Lord. In just a few minutes, spending time in his presence, and then all of a sudden I begin to think about it, and all of a sudden things start becoming clear. Folks, listen to me. It's a lot easier with God. It's just a lot easier with God. If you study the origin of the word help or helper in our text, the root word of this Bible, of this Bible title of helper carries two strong combined meanings. Helper means to be on call. Think about that. Helper means to be on call. And helper means to run to one's aid. David said this in Psalms 54:1 or 54:4, behold, God is mine helper. Think about that. In Psalms 30, verse number 10, Lord, he said, be thou my helper. In Psalms 72:12, he said, and him that hath was lamenting over and feeling sorry for the one who hath no helper. I love Hebrews 15, verse 5 and 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what men can do unto me. Now you think about that. David's saying this, God stands by on call, always available. And when called upon, think about this, will run to my aid. Now I'm going to be honest with you. That seems backwards to me. I think once I'm a Christian, I ought to probably be God's helper. I ought to assume the position of a servant. I ought to say, Lord, I'm on call. And if you need me, call me. Lord, if you need me to do anything, I'll run to the aid. I'll show up. I'll be Johnny on the spot. But what a humble thing to think that I can study the Bible. And God says, well, you know what? If you're willing to do that for me, I'm willing to do that for you. And you know what? There's going to be times when you need a helper. And, you know, I got to thinking about this. Even though I would love to be God's helper, what does he need help with? I think he's got things pretty much under control. But I don't always have things under control. And God said this, I'll be your helper. Hey, you know, I want to say this to you today. Look up. Help's on the way. I don't know who this is for this morning, but I want to tell you, God told me to say that. Look up, lift up your eyes, because help's on the way. You're close to despair. Come on, but help's on the way. So, preacher, I'm that one that I don't know how I'm going to get through this week. Well, help's on the way. Help's on the way. Just lift up your eye. Come on, get your eyes up. Get your eyes up. You can make it. You can do it because God has promised that he will be your helper. I think Brother Hightower quoted this verse at least two times while he was here. It says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth, thou shalt have wars. And he said, listen, you can either get your heart perfect before me. By the way, that starts with salvation. But that's not just salvation. As Christians, we got to keep our heart right. We got to keep our heart clean. I think he preached a message on that. And you know what? He says, if you'll do that, then I will be there for you. I am willing to show myself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards me. He said, now listen, if you don't and you get your heart wrong, come on. He said, you're going to deal with wars. He said, you have done foolishly. You know why? Because you won't get saved, or once you are saved, you won't keep your heart right with me, and you're missing out on my help. So number one, you can make it because God is your helper. Let me say this. You can make it because God is your creator. God is your creator. I love this next verse. He goes on to say this, my help cometh from the Lord. And then it's like he stops and he gives God's resume. Okay. My help cometh from the Lord. And by the way, in case you forgot about this, it is he which made heaven and earth. Now, can I just kind of remind all of us that if God comes to help, you know what? He's tackled some pretty difficult situations before. He's done the impossible before. Let me explain to you what our great creator God did. You know what? He made the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Genesis 1:3, and God said, you understand this, folks? He just spoke. He just spoke, and he said, let there be light, and there was light. In Genesis 1:6, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Genesis 1:9, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. You understand this, folks? He hasn't even lifted a finger yet. You understand? All that God has done is just speak, and these incredible things happened. He says in Genesis 1:11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. Genesis 1:14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs, for seasons, for days and years. And folks, all of us can walk outside in the daytime and in the nighttime, and we can say, you know what? Not only was it so, it still is so. It still is so. Genesis 1:20, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly. God just said these things. Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open and firmament of the heaven. God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw it was good. Folks, listen to me. I'm giving you his resume. I'm giving you the history of the creation of the world. The God that wants to be your helper, the God that's available to help you if you'll get your heart perfect before him, that God says, you know what? I have the ability. I have the power. I have the strength. With just the words of my mouth, I created everything that you see. You say, preacher, why are you stressing this? Because I believe that there's two reasons we don't bring our burdens and our problems to the Lord. Can I share it with you? Number one, we think that our problems are too small for the Lord. Or sometimes we think our problems are too big for the Lord. Have you ever done the first one where you just said, you know what, I just didn't really want to bother the Lord with this? Hey, God's not bothered by that. He's not bothered by that. He loves it when we come to him with the little things in our life. Come to him with the little things of our life. And I think he's reminding us that, you know what, I care about. Come on, I care about the thing that's causing you to fall, to cry yourself at sleep at night. I care about that heartache. I care about that fear. You know, it maybe it's an irrational fear, but it's still there. It's only irrational to the people who's never had it. Okay? Preacher, I know I ought to have more strength, but I don't. And I feel ashamed of myself. But this is such a little thing. It's not a little thing to God. Let me tell you this. And Brother Joseph, this came from our conversation yesterday, and he started talking about the sparrows, and he was talking about some of the blessings and some of the things that God's taken care of their life. Most people would think such a little thing, but he said, you know what, I realize this is a big thing to us, and God even says that he'll take care of the sparrows, so if he cares, and I just thought, I'm going to put that in my message, that's good. You know what Jesus said, are not five sparrows sold for a farthing, for two farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before, and not one of them is forgotten before God. But even the very hair of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. What do you think about that? How about this? Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought of your life, what you shall eat, neither for your body, what you should put on. The for the life is more than meat and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens. He said, why don't you just walk outside and just take a look at the birds flying around. Consider them. For they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowls? And which of you taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. Yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, don't we need to hear this sometimes? Which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast in the oven. How much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? You know what he's saying? He's saying, hey, you know what? Before you have a little thing that you think is too little for me to be concerned about, you do know why I keep count of the number of the hairs on your head. You understand that not one sparrow falls that I don't notice it. What is he saying? He said, by the way, take a walk out in the field and consider the beautiful flowers. And you know what? They grow and they struggle up. And just for a brief amount of time, they bloom into beauty. Then they wither away. And he said, I take care of them. I take care of the sparrows. I can clothe them. I can feed the sparrows. What are you worried about? You're more important to me than these things. So I want to say to those of you that may be facing something small, but you know what? It's big to you. God is concerned about it. God wants you to come to him with it. He wants to help you through that. He said, listen, I'm not just a helper over the little, big things in life. I'm a helper in the little things in life. You know, I wrote this, the words of this song. Now, why should I feel discouraged? I remember my mama sitting here, standing here in this pulpit singing this song. Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart feel lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, a constant friend is he. Listen, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches over me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. And I can see my mom's face brighten up. She's saying, I'm sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Say, preacher, sometimes I don't come to God because the thing seems so little. Sometimes I don't come to God because I just have given up hope. It just seems like it's too big. It's just too complex. It's just there's, watch this. There's no answer. It's impossible. Now, that's why God gave his resume here. He said, listen, I want you to lift up your eyes unto the hills because your help's coming from there. It's coming from God. By the way, here's his resume, which made heaven and earth. I just read those things to you, folks. Do you realize that Psalms 19:1 tells us the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth his handiwork. And all around this is a reminder that God spoke into existence the heavens and the earth. And with just the words of his mouth, he made something out of nothing. And then we say, what to him? My problem's too big. This is too impossible. We can't get through this. We can't. Yes, you can. Lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. You can make it because God's your helper. You can make it because God's your creator. Number three, you can make it because God is not a sleeper. He's not a sleeper. Did you see verse 3 and 4? He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. And I got to pondering this and I thought, you know what? God's never taken a nap. He's never taken a nap. Guess what? Your preacher can't testify that I've never taken a nap. Okay? I used to, in my younger days, when I was an assistant pastor, I would listen to my dad after lunch. Say, did you meet? Did he talk to you? No, I'd walk up down the hallway and I could hear him snoring in his office. He would always get here very early. He would work till lunch. He would eat lunch. And then he'd always just rest. I'm talking about in the last handful of years of his life. Hey, man, he'd got to the point where I think if you're, come on, I'm just going to declare this. If you're over 60, it's okay to take as many naps as you want to. Come on, even you young adults, remember when you used to fuss at your mom about taking a nap? What would you give on the average day, come on, moms, for a nap? for a nap. You're thinking, why did I argue with my mother all those years? I'd kill for a nap right now. But I think if you're over 60, it's okay to, and I used to, you know, I'd do, I'd lock the office doors. That way no one could come in and knock on his door. And I just learned, then pretty soon, he wouldn't sleep long, maybe 20 minutes, you know, 30 minutes, 4 hours. I don't know, but the reason I'm joking about it now and I can is I used to think to myself, man alive, he must be getting old. All right, I'm going to confess something. Every once in a while, I don't do it every day. But sometimes, come on, if you're ever doing office work and you're just like, what? And you can't stay, you're just like, what am I doing? You know, I'm trying to do my radio broadcast the other day, and I'm so tired that I'm just babbling incoherently. The sentences aren't coming together. Nothing's working. I'm misquoting scripture. I'm just like, and I just turn it off. Say, what do? I go over. I turn the light off. I go back and set my recliner. I put my feet on the desk. I set my alarm for 20 minutes. I lean back and I am gone. I mean, I'm to the seventh heavens. I'm, you know, revelations and visions and I can sleep and I mean, I can sleep deep. I can sleep deep quick and 20 minutes, hit the snooze button once. Actually, I set it for 21 minutes because then I can sit, hit the snooze button once, sleep 30. And then you know what? I get back up. Man, come on, I'm giving you secrets of success. You ought to be taking notes. Why isn't everybody writing these things down? Say, because we don't need to learn that. We've been doing it for years. So. God's never taken a nap. Aren't you glad that your helper has never fallen asleep on duty? He's never grown weary. He's never dozed off. He's our great God, and he's available 24/7 all the time on high alert, very present, completely aware, always on duty, and always a loving heavenly Father. And you know what? You can make it. You can make it not because of who you are, but because of who he is. Because he'll carry you through. Because he's not a sleeper. It's hard for us to comprehend. Because we humans, we need our rest. I'm just talking about naps so far, but we're not even talking about sleep. Let's get into that subject, one of my favorite ones. And mankind must sleep in order to keep functioning. Say, well, I don't need to. Okay, well, give it a try. You know, sleep and slumber is necessary in our lives. If you try to rob your body of sleep sooner or later, you know what? Your body will go to sleep whether you want it to or not. It'll just shut down. It'll shut off. I can't think about this. Have you ever fallen asleep at inopportune times in your life, you know? And during Bible college days, I was so busy. And really, my freshman year, I was trying to figure out the new schedule of working, going to classes all day, working, doing homework, and then trying to just, you know, exist on 5 or 6 hours sleep a night. And my body took some adjusting to get used to that. And it just seemed like anytime I'd sit down, I'd fall asleep. And I went to a lot of classes. I stood at the back of the class. Got permission from the teacher, and I never even sat down in class. I just sat back there and take notes because I knew if I sat down, I'd fall asleep. And freshman year, I got a toothache, and I mean a bad toothache. I don't have time to go to the dentist. I don't have time to get this taken care of. But so I put it off, and you know how you just to the point where it's like, okay, I got to do something. So I tried to catch a little bit of rest. I walked into this dentist's office about an hour before they closed, and I said to the receptionist, is there any way I can see the dentist? And she said, you know, he's closing in an hour. I said, it's an emergency. I said, I just want him to pull this tooth. I'll let him just pull it. I've got to get really just pull the tooth. She said, well, I'll tell you what. She walked me back into one of the rooms, you know, where you wait. There's several different rooms. And you know, come with me and I'll put you back here and then I'll talk to him and see what he can do. Well, she got busy when she came out. And she forgot to tell the dentist that she put me in this room. Well, I sat down in the room waiting for the dentist, and I'm toast, you know. Here I am working all these hours and classes, and so I lean my head against the wall, and I go dead asleep. I fall asleep in this dentist's office. The receptionist never tells the dentist that I'm down in this end room. The receptionist goes home. The dentist goes home. The nurse goes, what do they call the dentist, aide? What is it? That person. Yeah. They all left me. They locked the door. And left me. And I didn't know. I mean, I was gone. I am sound asleep. When I fell asleep in that chair, I slept for 3 hours. 3 hours I woke up. I look around. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, where am I? Oh man, I'm in the dentist's office. Where's the dentist at? I open the door. The hallway's dark. They turned all the lights out. I fell asleep in the dentist's office. I went over to the door. It's locked. I'm locked inside the dentist's office. Come on, in Maryville, Indiana, locked inside of a dentist's office, and I can't get out. And my tooth still hurts. And so I picked up the phone, and I called. You didn't call 911 then. There wasn't no 911, but I finally just called the police. I didn't know who else to call. And I said, hello, my name's Jerry Ross. I'm locked in the... locked in the dentist's office. You're what? Listen, I'm locked in the dentist's office. What's the address? I don't know. Hold on a minute. And I'm looking through the papers on the desk trying to figure out where I'm at. Police cars show up. They call. They get a hold of the dentist. He shows up down there. This guy's, listen, you know God's never fallen asleep in a dentist's office? Hallelujah. Preacher, I'm sure glad you're there for us. I'm not always there for you. Sometimes I'm asleep at the dentist's office. Oh, my goodness sakes. Raymond Santiago, and I don't know why I'm sharing this next story with you. I should not, because I'm going to start something, I know. But Raymond Santiago is a Puerto Rican guy I went to Bible college with. And I sat by him in chapel. I just loved his spirit. He was just such a delight. I didn't know him, so one day I was watching him in chapel. And one of these guys that got saved later on in life, and man, it just meant something to him. He got it. And they'd get to singing songs, and I'd see Raymond singing and just tears rolling down his face. I mean, God was very real to him. His salvation was very fresh. And so I that's the kind of guys I want to be around. Come on now. You don't get very far away from your salvation. I know it may be far away in time, but you ought to revisit that. You ought to keep that fresh. And he's just a guy that had it. And so I told him, Raymond, I'd like to sit with you. I'd like to get you to know. He said, yeah, come sit with me. So one of the first times I sat with him, he hits me during the sermon, and he's like, look over there. Look over there. Look over there. And there's this guy, and he's listening to the sermon. And you can see his eyes. He's fighting the eyes like this. Come on, don't look at me like you've never been there. I watch what's going on, okay? Can we get a testimony? Amen. So the guy's fighting valiantly. But, you know, it's really fun to watch. I know that's morbid, but it's just like, and then he starts doing the head bob thing, you know. And then he finds kind of that comfort place, and then the spittle starts coming down. Raymond's like, look at him, look at him. And I said, yeah. And he said this, you know, he's a Puerto Rican guy. And he says to me, you know what's happening? What? He says, Clint's getting him. Who? Clint. Clint's getting him, right? Come on, can I get a testimony? Brother Tom, Sister Stephanie, Clint's getting him. I said, who's Clint? Puerto Rican guy. Clint? Yeah, who's Clint? He said, Clint's the Sandman. I said, you know the name of the Sandman? He said, yeah, his name's Clint. He says, Clint's getting him. Look, he's getting him good now. He started bobbing again, you know. Then he kept going lower. You know what's happening because the pew's in front of him, all right? And finally, dude, the guy just went total relaxation, came forward, bam! Girl out of front, you know. What happened? Clint got him. And that thing started going all through the college, man. Everybody started learning the Clint's, the Sandman's real name is Clint. The only Clint I know is Clint Eastwood, you know. And he said, Clint's got him. I'm thinking, Dirty Harry, you know. Outlaw Josie Wells. So Clint's got him. Now, see, aren't you glad you came to church today? I mean, if you'd have went to any other church, you wouldn't know what the first name of the Sandman is. It's Clint, guys. So for all the years of Bible college, every time we see a person get to sleep, you know, then I'm the guy later on. Hey, the freshman, you know what's happening?
Clint's getting him.
Hey, Clint's never got God. Clint's never got. Listen, folks, I want to help you. Preacher, oh, I know. I know. And can I say this when I look in the eye? I do know. I don't know how I'm going to get through this thing that we're going through. I don't know how we're going to get through the next 6 months. I don't know how we're going to get through the next week. Preacher, I don't know how I'm going to get through today. Listen to me. You lift up your eyes to the hills. Because you've got a God who is your helper. You've got a God who's your creator. Folks, with the words of his mouth, everything around you was created. I think we can trust him to have the power to carry you through this, to see you through this, and if necessary, to change whatever circumstances he deems needful. Okay? So you know what? Trust him. Lift up your eyes. Look for him. He looks out for you. Okay? Listen, I want to say it again. You can make it. Preacher, the next 6 months, you can make it through the next 6 months. Come on, there's been other times, look back, there's been other times where you said, I can't make it, and did you make it? Listen, God's got a track record. Look back at his track record. Listen, you've trusted him this far, don't doubt him now. But you got to lift up your eyes. Preacher, I don't know, this week, okay, but you know what, you can make it. Preacher, I know, sometimes it's just, how do I get through today? You can make it. You can make it. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you'd just help us. Lord, we need you. There's days that we know we need you. Sadly, there's days that we probably don't think we need you. But Lord, the honest truth is every day we need you. Lord, thank you for next door neighbors that invited us to church. Thank you for getting me underneath the preaching of the gospel. Thank you for that day I walked into church lost. But Lord, I didn't leave that way because the gospel was preached and your Holy Spirit convicted me and I went forward and I learned how to be saved and I trusted you. And Lord, if I can trust you with my soul, Lord, help me not to be weak in faith and not trust you with the next 6 months, not trust you with the next week, not trust you with the next several hours. Lord, you can't pastor a church this size without pastoring people that need Psalms 121. Some need it now. Some's just coming out of a stretch and they could stand up and testify, hey, God didn't fail. And some of us may be right on the precipice of something that we can't even imagine. But Lord, there are no surprises with you. So help us, Lord, to just learn to trust you and love you, have great confidence in you, and to know that if we'll look up, lift up our eyes, if we'll call out, you're there. You'll come running. You'll bail us out again. Thank you for being our faithful God. We pray these things in Jesus' name.